listening to Catholic Talk Radio in Chicago and the suburbs on Relevant Radio 950 AM.
Good morning. I'm Cardinal Francis George. For the next hour, the Archdiocese of Chicago will be hosting discussions on issues, people, and associations that touch our lives. Welcome to the Catholic Community of Faith.
Good morning, and thank you for spending this time with us on this Monday morning in Chicago. It is starting to feel like fall. I'm Graziano Marcheschi with the Archdiocese, co-hosting together with Wayne Magyars of Loyola University.
Good morning, sir. How are you?
I'm well. And we are not with our anchor, Father Greg Sakowitz, who was recovering from his installation and celebrations yesterday.
It was quite the celebration. It was a wonderful liturgy with Bishop Kane presiding, and the reception line was extremely long afterwards, so I warned him. I said, I'm no longer waiting in line to see you. I could see you anytime on the radio, so... But it was a
He was having the time of his life.
He was, yeah, he was.
And it's a great fit. It's a wonderful parish, and he's going to be a great pastor for them. So,
yeah, lots of good energy in the room, and he'll do well there.
But this morning, we are, you know, today is a historic day.
It is.
Bears and the Packers are facing off. First time, I think, since 1964 that the two of them are meeting one another undefeated.
Mm-hmm.
The last time... The Packers won.
I know.
So yes, we're going to talk to the man who's responsible for a lot of their victories, the chaplain who prays for them, I'm sure. Their spiritual development. We have with us Father Baraniak, who is the chaplain of the Green Bay Packers. Good morning, Father.
Good morning, Gratz. How are you?
I'm very well. I'm sorry, what is your first name, Father?
Father Jim Baraniak.
Jim Baraniak.
Yeah.
And how long have you been the chaplain of the Packers?
This is my 14th year with the team.
So are you responsible for their success?
Well, you know, the coaches are quick to give, you know, the respect and give the credit to me, but I just don't think that's the case at all. But
do you get the blame during the losing
season? Some of their spiritual needs and try to keep their minds straight as they go into the game, but they're extraordinarily kind, but I'm not going to take all of that credit.
What about when they lose? Do you get the blame?
I haven't yet, but let's not give them any ideas if they're listening to their radios here in Chicago.
All right, so Father Jim, the incredible rivalry between the Bears and the Packers, is it more difficult, is it more challenging for you to get this team ready for a game like this than, say, a game against the New Orleans Saints or the San Francisco 49ers?
I think certainly so. You know, it's interesting because we are so close geographically also that we often have so many Chicago fans up at Lambeau Field when we're playing the team up in Green Bay, and so many of our fans also come down here, and so it really makes for a blended stadium, certainly. But the longevity of these two teams and, you know, the closeness in geography, the longevity, the founders of the teams, you know, just so many similarities between the two institutions, despite the size of our communities. The rivalry is certainly intense, and so I know that Coach McCarthy is certainly going to drive that point home as he has this week up in Green Bay, just saying, you know, this is, in polite terms, this is the enemy, you know what I mean? This is the team, you know, and I think Lovie Smith made that very clear when he was tapped to be the Bears head coach.
He did.
This is the rivalry. This is where we've got to, you know, focus our attention at least two games out of the year.
You know, we don't have your counterpart, Father Nick Morrow, here with us because he's saying Mass right now.
Guy. My gosh. I think he's been with the Bears even longer than I've been with the Packers. I think he's been there like 16 or 17 years, if I'm correct. Mm.
You think he's worried? He's off saying Mass right now. I'm sure he's praying for the Bears.
I'm sure he is, but, you know, he has got such a laid-back attitude that I think that he's really gearing up for today's Mass with his team, and I think he's just going to take it in stride. He's just a tremendous man.
All right, so tell us what's going to happen. The game kickoffs tonight at 7:30 or 8 o'clock, Monday Night Football, national TV audience. What is your day like from now until kickoff? What happens?
Well, let's back up. Last night there were certainly team meetings. We are housed over here at the Westin Hotel on Michigan Avenue, where we've been for so many years. And so when we arrived yesterday, the players have time off, and so they run up and down Michigan Avenue. They go out to eat. They check out Nike Town, as you can imagine, the ESPN Zone. So they have time off until about 8 o'clock at night. Then there's team meetings, and then there's snack, and then there's mandatory lights out and bed check at 11 p.m. And so then I noticed on the schedule today that they have their wake-up calls at 10 o'clock. I think the Bears would say the same thing as the Packers, that these evening games are just deadly, you know, because they just spend the entire day in waiting, you know, and especially when you're on the road. And at this up in Green Bay, our players would have other places to go, other things to do. But so here we are in waiting. And so as I'm looking at the schedule right now, Gratz, it's wake-up calls at 10, then there's a big brunch here, and then there's walkthroughs. And then the beginning of the day begins at 3 o'clock, and that is with the Catholic Mass. 4.5 hours before every kickoff, whether it's Monday Night Football or it's a noon game on Sunday, it doesn't matter what day of the week it is, we begin with the Mass. Hmm. And that's always 4.5 hours before kickoff. Then after the Mass, then they can grab something quick to eat, and then buses 1 and 2 will depart shortly thereafter for Soldier Field. And then an hour later, buses 3 and 4 will report to Soldier Field.
All right, now, Father Jim, you've been doing this for 14 years.
Yes.
Give us a sense. Are the professional football players of today, especially the Green Bay Packers that you've been working so closely with, more or less spiritual, their faith lives? Have you seen a change? Have you seen a shift over the past 14 years in your work with the Green Bay Packers?
I haven't seen that many shifts. You know, you certainly have men who are both spiritual and religious. I would say that the majority of our players, and I could probably go as far as to say, given my knowledge of different chaplains and other teams in the NFL, most of the men are deeply spiritual. And then from that, there's several men who are religious who would then take their spirituality and want to celebrate it in community. And so that would be with either a non-denominational chapel service, or that would be with the Catholic Mass. And so, you know, certainly I would like to see more players either at the chapel or certainly at the Mass. Some have their own private little rituals. That's how they live out their spirituality, and I certainly understand that. But some certainly do make it to the Mass, and you can count on them to be there every single week.
You know, Father Jim, I would assume that it would be only the Catholic players who would be attending the Catholic Mass, but is that not the case? Do non-Catholics come as well?
No, that is not the case. What I find often is we will have some players from Protestant backgrounds who will come to the Mass, and they're extraordinarily reverent, you know what I mean? And their eyes are wide open. I assume their ears are wide open. They're taking everything in because the Catholic Mass, of course, has so much more ritual than, you know, the non-denominational service. And that is not a cut on the non-denominational service, but I think you would understand, Gratz, that in that non-denominational service, you are serving at the same time folks of all different Protestant backgrounds.
Now, I've heard a little rumor that you have green and yellow vestments.
I do.
I don't remember yellow being a liturgical color.
They were made by a wonderful company. To celebrate my 10 years, the Packers gave me a tremendous gift, and they said, do whatever you want with it. I had a beautiful vestment made, and it's green, various shades of green. It's very rich looking, and then there are gold shears of woven material throughout that. So you would never come to church and say, oh, my God, that's God-awful, or the G's are all over it. Certainly not. No, but it is green and gold, and I don't wear it.
I was going to ask you about the logo. I said, that's where we draw the line.
I have that on my T-shirt underneath all the vestments and underneath my habit, certainly, but most people don't see that. So
when you gather for these liturgies and other times of prayer, are you praying for victory, or are you praying for safety and good health?
Well, I kind of kid folks when that question comes up, and I say I don't pray for victories until playoffs. But even that is not true. We certainly will be praying for the Bears as well. We'll be praying for the ability to use their gifts and their talents wisely. We certainly will be praying for those family members and friends who come to support us in the Chicago Bears. We pray that we'll keep hope alive, that they be determined in what they're doing, you know, and that they can be a team, and that they have their brothers back.
All right, so any predictions on the game for tonight?
Well, you know, I was kind of surprised that we were 3.5-point favorites. And
right.
So I'm hoping that we will do well. But there's an intensity that's going on with the Bears that I see right now. And it seems as though your quarterback, Jay Cutler, is certainly doing well this season. And so I'm concerned because I have so many of your Chicago young people up at my college, up at St. Norbert, that if we do not win tonight, they will be lined up outside my office to rub it in tomorrow.
So, are you a Norbertine priest or a priest of the diocese?
No, I'm a priest of St. Norbert Abbey, a Norbertine priest, and I'm the pastor of the St. Norbert College community.
Yeah.
And so you can imagine how many kids, especially from the north side suburbs of Chicago, that we have up there. Many of them are football players. And I'm glad I'm not seeing them today because they'll be fully decked out in their blue and orange, those nasty colors. But if Packers win tomorrow, I will not see them until Sunday. If the Bears win tomorrow, I will see them immediately at my office. That's just the way it always is, Grant.
Father Jim, we need to go to a break, but we'd like to ask you to stick around for the next segment, okay? We've got a couple more questions we want to ask you. So we're going to take a short break, and then we're going to be right back to continue our conversation with the chaplain of the Green Bay Packers. Don't go away.
Despite medical advancements, prevention, research, and groundbreaking treatment opportunities, the ongoing impact of the global HIV/AIDS pandemic continues to be staggering. Please join or support Catholic Charities this year on Saturday, October 2nd in Grant Park at the AIDS Run Walk. 100% of the funds raised by Team Catholic Charities are returned to Catholic Charities in Cook and Lake Counties. For more information, please call 312-655-7322 or visit www.catholiccharities.net.
Choosing an elementary school for your child is one of the biggest decisions you will ever make to shape your child's future. So why pick a Catholic school?
I want my kids to learn more than the three R's. They need a faith-based education so they make good decisions.
I want my son and daughter to go to college. At Catholic schools, attendance and graduation rates are nearly 100%. And when these kids graduate, they go to college.
My teacher is so cool. She knows who I am. She helps me when I have trouble figuring things out.
My son isn't a number. The student-teacher ratio is 18-1, and Catholic school teachers are really dedicated.
I want my daughter to feel welcome, to be safe.
The test scores are well above the national average. Look out, college. Here they come.
Go to www.archchicago.org and click on Schools to learn more about the great benefits of a Catholic education. Invest in your child's future. Make your child a winner for life.
Welcome back to Catholic Community of Faith on Relevant Radio. This is the radio voice of the Catholic Archdiocese of Chicago, and we're delighted that you've chosen to spend this part of your morning with us. We're talking right now, Wayne Majars of Loyola University and I, Graziano Marcheschi, with Father Jim Braniac, who is the chaplain of the Green Bay Packers. Braniac, not Braniac.
Yes, Braniac.
Braniac, there you go. But maybe you are a Braniac, you know.
When I taught in the high school, Abbott Pennings High School, the students would call me Braniac, and
there
I thought, well, that's not the worst thing to be called in high school.
People have called me sophomoric more than once in my life. So.
Yes, of course.
Here's what I wanted to ask you, though. Besides these liturgies on game day,
yes,
are there other ways that you interact as chaplain with the players?
Well, certainly. keep in mind that the Packers also have their summer training camp at St. Norbert College, and that is where I serve primarily, and that is also where I live. And so I do have opportunities to bring them over to the Norbertine residence, to the Priory, to meet with other Norbertines, to get to know our community pretty well. So that's social in nature. I certainly do show up for their practices as well as their games and the OTAs throughout the spring, but I also do meet with them quite often for any sort of pastoral care that they might have. If there's some issues associated with relationships, if there's some issues associated with their fear of being cut or retained, you know, I'm meeting with them in that regard. So I also meet with them for sacramental prep. If any of them are preparing for marriage, I would walk with them through that process. Sometimes I preside over those marriages or the baptism of their children. So anything you would see a parish priest do for his congregation, which I certainly do at St. Norbert College, is what I would do with the team as well.
No, but this is...
It's just prep also because they'll be married back at their home in Tennessee, for instance. So I do the prep work at the home front in DePere and then help them prepare for their wedding elsewhere.
Lots of similarities, Father Jim, to a pastor at a parish, but also a lot of differences, too, because as you mentioned, there's factors that a professional football player, like the fear of getting cut, is not something that you would normally see or deal with as a pastor in a typical parish. So how did you prepare for this job? I mean, did you sit with the previous chaplain and say, what are some of the things that I really need to pay attention to and look at in this position? Or do you just kind of feel out and really treat this team as almost like your congregation in a parish?
Right. Well, the first year that I was there, Gratz, all I had to do was prepare for having a Sunday Mass. And obviously my homily would be enculturated towards their lifestyle. It would certainly be the readings of the day, the prayers of the day. You know, that falls in sync with any other Catholic church or other Catholic communities throughout the world. And so they would be hearing something similar as everybody else in a church pew would hear. However, I would contextualize the homily to fit their situation as young folks coming into a ton of money, for instance, at a very young age, and how do they deal with that, the issues of being cut, you know. So for the first year, just having two masses here in Chicago, then out in Detroit, it was just simply liturgical. And then that job has just grown over the years with different coaches, certainly with Coach Sherman and Coach McCarthy, who are decent Catholic men who are very involved in the Catholic Church. The job has escalated in a sense that beyond the liturgical sacramental care of the team would be the pastoral care. I still remember Coach Sherman would call guys in, and if they had made some major mistakes or they had some indiscretions off the field, you know, not only did they have to see him, but they'd have to see me. You know, that's coming out of a Catholic university or college environment, a Catholic high school, you know, in Coach Sherman's mind.
You know, you touched on it just briefly, but the dynamic that's set up with these young, and you mentioned, you used the words young people, these young people who are making incredible amounts of money, who are in the public spotlight, shed a dimension of pressure, both personally and socially, that really is an area that has to be tended to, right?
Oh, definitely. Gratz, if you speak to any chaplain in the NFL or you speak to Roger Goodell, so many people are concerned about making such major bucks in such a short period of time. And meanwhile, there's all sorts of other people with their hands out back at home, you know what I mean, you know, looking for a handout. You know, so many folks on the inside say NFL stands for not for long, because not only does this job not last forever because of your physicality, but also not for long does the money last, you know, because so many people are out there trying to take a collection, or the guys are spending the money quickly on frivolous things that are going to pass away and are not going to last forever.
Hey, one last question, because we're going to need to go. Did you think that Brett Favre would still be playing all this time after he left the Packers?
You know, each year as we get closer to that date, as Brad Childress is waiting for response from Brett, I always said he's going to come back. This year, it just looks like things are going a little more shaky. Again, the season is so darn new. But I'm a little surprised that he's there this year. We'll see what happens. You know, I don't know how well Brett is prepared for life after football, but he still is fun to watch, that's for sure.
Well, Father Jim Araniak, the... chaplain of the Green Bay Packers. We thank you for spending this time with us, and I'm afraid we're going to have to pray that your prayers are not answered in terms of victory, but good health and good lives for all those players. God bless you. Thank you so much.
Thank you much.
Thank you. This is not ESPN, by the way. This is Relevant Radio, 950 AM, and we'll be right back.
Faith, family, future. Be part of the 25th anniversary of the Office for Black Catholics. Hello, I'm Mary Norfleet Johnson, Director of the Archdiocese of Chicago Office for Black Catholics.
And I'm Devin Jones, one of the hosts of the radio program God's Praises Tell. We hope you can join us during the last week in October for this historic celebration.
There will be an opening mass celebrated by Bishop Joseph Perry at St. Albie Church on Sunday afternoon, October 24th. During the week, there will be two revivals and even a youth and young adult evening, all featuring inspirational music and speakers.
And Cardinal Francis George will celebrate the closing mass on Sunday, October 31st at St. Jude the Apostle Church in South Holland. Go to www.blackcatholicchicago.org for the full schedule of events.
That's www.blackcatholicchicago.org. Come, help us celebrate the 25th anniversary of the Office for Black Catholics.
If you haven't read the Catholic New World lately, you're in for quite a surprise. It's bigger, bolder, and better than ever before.
The Catholic New World is a rich and diverse resource for Catholics throughout the Archdiocese of Chicago. It carries stories of faith, hope, and inspiration. Our most read column is written by our publisher, Cardinal Francis George, our shepherd, teacher, and leader.
Our columnists provide support in spirituality and evangelization, and you'll want to browse the Around the Archdiocese page, your gateway to Catholic activities throughout Cook and Lake Counties.
Are you constantly on the go? Then stay connected to your church by visiting CatholicNewWorld.com and sign up to follow us on Twitter.
That's CatholicNewWorld.com. View our photo gallery, catch up on the latest news, and if you haven't already, subscribe to the Catholic New World or call 312-534-7777.
Your faith resource. Subscribe now to the Catholic New World.
And welcome back to Catholic Community of Faith on Relevant Radio, 950 AM. It's 9:21 in the morning on a Monday. A familiar face to the program is with us, Executive Director of the Catholic Conference of Illinois, Bob Gilligan. Bob, welcome to the program. Nice to see you again.
Thank you. I thought this was Mike and Mike in the Morning, the sports talk show.
I feel bad interrupting you. I feel bad that...
I know, let's talk about
Father
the Bears-Packers.
Father kept thinking that Wayne was grass.
We had a... We did have to run the disclaimer in case someone thought that their radio dial was just a little bit too far to the right this morning. But
hey, watch that, in my world, that really means something.
And a perfect transition. Your office, Bob, just finished interviewing a number of the candidates for the Illinois governor's seat, and we're now in the thick of the primary season on a number of fronts. Tell us what you find out there and some of the... overall parameters that you're looking at as it relates to the 2010 Illinois candidates for governor.
Well, you're right. I think any listener out there probably can't turn on the radio outside of this station or put on the television without being just inundated with commercials.
You took words right out of my mouth, and we're just
starting. If you think you're sick of it now, you haven't seen anything yet. So here's what happened. Back in March when the Catholic Conference Board met, it at the time, most of people who do my line of work thought, well, the governor's race is going to be two prominent men, Bill Brady, who had won the Republican primary, who was Catholic, and everybody, you know, in my world knows that, and Governor Quinn, who was also Catholic. And so the bishops, along with the Catholic Conference Board, felt, well, you know, this is going to put us in an interesting spot. So what we commissioned us to do at the time was to talk to them, interview them, try to get their opinions on different issues. And so at the time, it was only two. Listeners may not be aware, but we're up to five candidates. candidates now. So what we did is we brought each candidate in. We asked them the same questions, same format, brought them in for extensive interviews. We transcribed it. So the transcription of the interviews will be available on our website come next week. And we also had a writer, a reporter from the Catholic Post down in Peoria, and he'll write a newspaper story that'll go into all the Catholic newspapers about, you know, the story and what happened and what they said. And I think the main piece that we want to talk about today probably is this little candidate survey, and starting next Monday.
Let me just back you up for a second. The purpose of these interviews wasn't so that the Catholic bishops could make an endorsement, obviously.
No, and here's where this sort of exercise becomes interesting. No, it's not. But you know, for many every election cycle, you know, Faithful Citizenship comes out every 4 years, the document by the United States Conference of Catholic Bishops, and it implores Catholics to examine their conscience about the issues of the day and the Catholic social teachings, et cetera. And that's a very that document has its detractors, and it has its aficionados and its fans. And so I think what we find oftentimes is people say, okay, I've examined my conscience, I've done that, but now tell me where the candidates are on issues. Mm-hmm. I mean, because I don't know. You know, the average Catholic is, they got things to do. You know, they're on a Sunday, you know, average Catholic is going to Mass and, you know, has 100 things to do Sunday afternoon and maybe watch the Bears game or something after that, you know, if they get a chance. And so people are not well versed on the issues. So really what we were trying to do is say, where are they on the issues?
And the candidates are not clear.
They're not. No, they're intentionally.
They do a little bit of what we were talking about in the first segment. They're tossed around political football.
Right. So what we tried to do is try to really pin them down, like, okay, if you were governor, Mr. fill in the blank, and they're all men in this case, how would you vote on a specific bill? What we found in the past, if we just asked them, like, are you pro-life or are you support marriage or do you – what do you feel about the poor and that sort of thing? Well, they'll just ramble on and say nothing, and you don't really get anything out of that. So what we really tried to do here is we tried to pick bills that were alive in the General Assembly and the legislature that hypothetically, if they passed, they'd have to sign them. So this is what we're talking about. And we'll acknowledge that are these the – you know, this can never be perfect. Could it be better? It could always be better. You know, I know a lot of people are going to say, well, the bill we chose about right to life issues, actually there are two. One is the abolition of the death penalty, and one is the offering of an ultrasound prior to an abortion. Well, you know, you could take that label pro-life and pro-choice and support or oppose either one of those bills.
Yeah.
So we tried to get away from the labels. We tried to really stick with specific issues. And what we're hoping to do is also, if enough people see this, to also be educated about the issues themselves.
Mm-hmm.
Well, why do you have a bill about an ultrasound prior to an abortion? I mean, why don't you have more or less? And so we're hoping that this engages Catholics in more of a dialogue about the issues in Springfield, mm-hmm. not Washington, that you know, where the particular candidates are. So they can discern, once again, based upon their conscience, how they feel about a particular candidate.
Were they forthcoming with their responses, or were they reluctant to get nailed down like that?
You know, Gratz, I was surprised. Well, I should say, of everybody running, the Governor Quinn did not participate. We could not get him to participate in the survey and answering the question. So there's five candidates.
So he didn't come in for the interview?
Nope. Would not come in for the interview, would not respond, totally decided not to participate.
So how should we interpret that?
You can interpret that any so which way you care to. You know, look, I think it's really disappointing. I don't mean this to brag, but I would say that if the pastors do this and put it in the bulletins, this will probably be the most widely read candidate survey in the state. I mean, mm-hmm. there's, yeah. you know, how many people go in the – so we're asking the pastors to do it 3 weeks in the month of October. So, yeah, it's disappointing. He tries not to. But to answer your question – I was really surprised at how forthcoming they were. We asked them to come into our offices, and they pretty much were willing to do that. I was surprised. They spent as much time with us as they wanted. They answered the questions, both in terms of checking support or oppose about these five questions, and then we gave them a chance to talk about anything they wanted to talk about, because I understand this is an issue about the economy, about job creation, and about corruption. I mean, that's the driving issue, and that's what they all want to talk about. They don't want to really talk about, you know, these issues. So that's what we did, and I thought it went pretty well. I was, they gave us as much time as we wanted. They were forthcoming. It wasn't like anybody really blinked at answering a question. I had anticipated that, but they didn't do that at all. So it was good. I think it was a good process.
Yeah. Well, why don't we talk about the specific questions.
Sure.
And let folks know, because the purpose of this was to be informational.
Right.
It's not to sway people's vote. It's not to say you should vote for this person or that, but the church does have positions on issues. And so to know where the candidates stand on those issues is going to be a helpful thing.
And we'll do that right after our break.
Good.
It's 928 in Chicago. You're listening to Catholic Community of Faith on Relevant Radio, 950 AM, and we'll be right back.
Do you have questions about Catholic social teaching? Are you interested in learning about our Holy Father's latest encyclical, Charity and Truth? Then join the Archdiocese of Chicago's Office for Peace and Justice for Justice Day 2010. It will be held Saturday, October 2nd from 8:30 a.m. until 2:30 p.m. at Our Lady of Sorrows Basilica in Chicago. Meet the 20 Chicago Catholic Campaign for Human Development grant recipients, all fighting to break the cycle of poverty in partnership with our Catholic faith. The event is free for students and educators with a school ID. Free parking and lunch will be provided. Register today. Call 312-534-3894 or visit www.archchicago.org and click on Justice Day for more information. That's 312-534-3894 or visit www.archchicago.org. Justice Day 2010, fighting for life, justice, and human dignity.
Most interment arrangements at the 43 Archdiocese of Chicago cemeteries are made through a pre-need plan. Your thoughtful planning today is economically prudent and contributes to peace of mind for you and your loved ones. Catholic Cemeteries counselors are available at your convenience. For more information, call 708-449-6100. Catholic Cemeteries, serving the Catholic community since 1837.
You're listening to Catholic Talk Radio in Chicago and the suburbs on Relevant Radio 950 AM.
Every Monday through Friday from 9 to 10 AM, the Archdiocese of Chicago presents programming about the people, the issues, and the faith that affect all our lives. Thanks for staying with us here on Relevant Radio 950 AM. Now again, the Catholic Community of Faith.
And welcome back into the program. Wayne Madjars and Graziano Marcheschi with you this morning. The race for Illinois governor is on, and Executive Director of the Illinois Catholic Conference, Bob Gilligan, is with us. And his office just finished an interview with actually four of the five candidates running for governor. Let's go through what you found, Bob. And Let's start with Senator Bill Brady, the Republican candidate.
Yeah, he was interesting. He came in, like I said, you know, I know he's the challenger and has a lot of things on his plate right now, but he came in, sat down for the interview. He was, I thought, very measured in his responses and very, you know, clearly you know where he stands on things, but he doesn't elaborate a whole lot. I think that's the thing I found most about Senator Brady. He pretty much says straight up where he's at, and that's about it. There's no need to really ramble on. The Ultrasound Opportunity Act is the first question we asked him, and that's to, do you support or oppose the offering of an ultrasound prior to an abortion? And he, you know, he was very clear that he supported that. And he also made the point that, you know, he said he's pro-life, he's fundamentally believes in that and always has in his entire legislative career. By the way, Senator Bill Brady is a state senator from Bloomington, so he's from the central part of the state. Do you want to just run down where they are on every issue?
Sure.
Or do you want to
just
go over
quickly. Yeah. Let's just do it
well,
quickly.
Could I just jump in? Mm-hmm. I'm finding it difficult to understand why anyone would oppose that particular position. It seems fairly innocuous. You're offering women an option.
Right. Yeah.
You're not forcing them.
Welcome to my world. Yeah. In Springfield, this becomes the pro-choice, pro-life camps. You cannot, if you're in the Planned Parenthood-sponsored legislative office, you cannot do anything that would absolutely make it more difficult to obtain an abortion. And it's they will fight anything. anything that has to do with making it. It's ridiculous.
So the Libertarian Party candidate and the Green Party candidate, Lex Green and Rich Whitley, are just are on record as opposing that.
Yeah, they do. Libertarian Party candidate, you know, they come from a philosophical base of that. You know, they just don't really believe in government intervention in just about anything. You know, they're very hands off in anything. So the government, you know, and Lex in his interview said, you know, personally he believes that, you know, Roe v. Wade should be overturned. Does government should have, you know, that we should have laws to protect the unborn children. But in things like this at the state level, he philosophically doesn't support that. Rich Whitney, I would say, Rich is from the Green Party candidate, and he is an attorney in Carbondale, Illinois. A very bright man, very articulate, but clearly opposes any, he feels that would create a burden to a woman seeking an abortion.
We spend a lot of time on this radio program talking about education, and inevitably we get back to tuition vouchers. So we've got support, no response from Governor Quinn, and then a pose on tuition vouchers by the Green Party candidate, Rich Whitney.
Yes.
Pretty cut and dry? No surprises there?
No, I don't think that. Well, actually, I would say the one surprise was Scott Lee Cohen, who, you know, listeners may recognize that name. He's the gentleman who won the race for lieutenant governor.
Yeah.
And then after all his personal problems were revealed, he resigned from that seat. And now he's running for governor as an independent. You know, Mr. Cohen was interesting in that, yeah, he does support vouchers. This is the bill that listeners may remember. This is the Senator James Meeks, who now may be running for mayor. He was the one.
Everybody else?
Right. He was the one that sponsored this bill. And it was focused mostly on students in very low-performing schools or overcrowded schools. So Senator Brady has been a very strong proponent of vouchers for years. Mr. Cohen, as an independent, thinks this is a good idea. Surprisingly, I was a little surprised. Lex Green, and the libertarian concept, thinks that parents should be able to direct their tax dollars to whatever they see fit. The government shouldn't really have much of a role in that. And Mr. Whitney, once again, really took the position that we should be addressing the public school system, and any public dollars should be going to the public system, which
from
is
where
what
you
you're
stand,
here.
Do you think we're getting any closer to the possible passage of that kind of a bill?
I do. I'm very optimistic about the future. I will say the caution on that is, what is the future of Reverend Senator Meeks? Does he run for mayor? Does he become mayor? Does that detract him from efforts in Springfield to advocate for that? Because he was the real champion of that bill. I just met with last Friday with the new House sponsor. Her name is Karen Yarborough, and she intends to want to do it again in November. So she wants
to
make another run at it.
Would it survive a constitutional challenge?
It will. It will survive a constitutional challenge. In other states, these sort of programs have been enacted. They've survived the constitutional test. We've had many people look at it. Now, with that said, will there be a test? Absolutely. But we're pretty confident we'll be able to survive
it. You said earlier that Senator Bill Brady was pretty strong pro-life, especially in his answer in addressing the issue of the ultrasound legislation. Yet he's, at least on the grid here, against abolition of the death penalty.
He is. And I have to say, I wish, you know, sometimes people could see what I see. Nonverbal communication. He clearly is uncomfortable with the death penalty. His statements were, I'd reserve it for only the most absolutely heinous crime where there was absolutely no doubt, blah blah blah. I don't want to say what his heart is saying, but you know, if there were ever were somebody that gave as much of a hedge on an answer, I would say this was the one. Now, but ultimately he checked the box.
Ultimately
he said
checked,
that,
you know, I mean, people do that with abortion. I would never.
Yeah, right. Good point. Yeah. He's opposed to abolishing it, and like I said, that's another issue that I'm an optimist long term on abolishing the death penalty in Illinois. Listeners should know there is a moratorium on it right now, but that doesn't mean that there aren't people who are being sentenced to death right now. So there's going to come a time when somebody's going to have their case pending before the ultimate judge in the Supreme Court system, whether they execute them or not execute them. So we have people in queue, if you will. And I think Illinois, it's really interesting, the advocacy efforts here. We've had a moratorium for 10 years. Have we really missed the death penalty? I mean, we've been operating really without it for 10 years. Has anybody really missed it?
Yeah.
So anyway.
It's certainly understandable that people wouldn't be able to equate taking the life of the unborn with taking the life of a criminal.
Sure.
However, at the core, there's the same principle involved.
There is. And on this show, I would say in this state, there's really no reason we need the death penalty. I mean, let's be assured.
Different subject now. Arizona's immigration law raised a brouhaha nationwide, and you asked the question about implementation of a law in Illinois similar to that of Arizona's. And not to pick on Senator Brady, but he did not indicate. What did he say to you?
He said, I can remember the metaphor. We need a stronger door. A bigger window and a stronger door. In other words, that was what it was. We need a wider window and a stronger door. In other words, I think what he's saying is this is a federal issue. Here's the controversy of this question. Is it a federal issue or a state issue? At the time we were designing this, this was such a hot topic. The likelihood of a bill being introduced in Illinois, yeah, there'll probably be a bill. Will it get a hearing? Probably not. But on the other hand, there's a lot of different ways you can answer this question. Is it a state's rights issue? Is it was in need of a comprehensive immigration reform issue? And that was, I think what Brady was saying was, this is a federal issue, punt it up to them, because that's where the solution comes from. So, but I think politically, there's a reason why he probably didn't want to indicate what he would do in Illinois, because, you know, I mean, let's face it, some of the Republican base is, you know, we've seen where they are in this issue. So I think that's what he was doing there.
Another politically charged issue is the question of civil unions and granting the rights of marriage to those in civil unions. It seems that most of the respondents were in support.
Yep.
And that Senator Bill Brady was the sole opposing voice. Talk about that issue. What's at stake there?
Well, the whole question of marriage is obviously on the table in all across the country. And in Illinois, there's legislation on civil unions. Well, you know, in layman's terms, sometimes people perceive civil unions as kind of same-sex marriage light, if you will. Well, let's give them something. We can give them something, can't we? The problem with civil unions is if you read the bill, they're purporting all the same benefits of marriage to a civil union. So in essence, what's the difference? There is no difference. It's a cosmetic change. But in answer to the questions, and we should probably talk about this more after the when we have a break, but the issue of where you are marriage is pretty much clear cut. But the one thing I found most interesting about every one of the respondents is a follow-up question we asked was, okay, well, if you are for civil unions or same-sex marriage, have you ever thought about the repercussions to a religious organization, a religious entity? Interestingly, none of them have thought of it.
Mm. All right, well, let's talk about the implications of that question when we get back. We're going to take a short break. You're listening to Catholic Communion of Faith on Relevant Radio AM 950. We'll be right back. Please don't go away.
Cardinal George directs the catechetical activities of the Archdiocese of Chicago through the Office for Catechesis and Youth Ministry. Our office promotes lifelong catechesis by directing certification and formative opportunities for those who teach catechesis in the more than 350 parishes that make up the Archdiocese.
Each year we host a myriad of opportunities to enhance adult faith formation and youth ministry programs. We sponsor certification classes, guest speakers, youth rallies, retreats, and our well-attended annual Chicago Catechetical Conference.
We work closely with pastors to ensure that their congregations and staffs are well-formed in teaching and learning about the Catholic faith. Our highly skilled coordinators serve various ethnic groups, speak multiple languages, and are always ready to serve Christ through catechesis.
Log on to www.catechesis-chicago.org or www.youthministry-chicago.org to learn more about how we can better serve you.
Real men answer the call to the priesthood. Is God calling you?
You know, I'm honored to be a priest for the Archdiocese of Chicago. I think it's great.
There's a desire to want to give back and to help and to serve those who are especially in need.
I think there's a wonderful opportunity for us to bring good news to a world that's very much in need.
When I experience through my ministry someone being brought closer to the Lord, it's an exciting, thrilling moment.
If you feel God's call to a priestly vocation,
contact us at 312-751-8298 or visit our website at chicagopriest.com. John Paul II once said, "Do not be afraid. Open your heart to Christ. The deepest joy there is in life is the joy that comes from God. Jesus is the hope of the world. The people are calling. The world is calling. God is calling. Answer the call to the priesthood."
/9:43 Welcome back to the program. Bob Gilligan, who is the executive director of the Catholic Conference of Illinois, is with us talking before the break about the 2010 gubernatorial candidates here in Illinois as we are into the race. The race has officially begun, and specifically about one of the five areas, Bob, that you asked the candidates about, which was of civil unions, granting the benefits of marriage to same-sex couples. And you said one of the follow-up questions that you asked them were, do they recognize the implications to that, either oppose or support, to religious communities? What kind of answers did you get?
Very much like, oh, yeah, I really didn't think of that. Yeah, you know, we'd have to point out to them, you know, Catholic Charities does daycare, they do adoption. If civil unions or same-sex marriage is the law of the land, how do we operate with the secular law saying that we won't do certain aspects of what you're charged us to do? Employment and hiring, do we have to grant benefits to same-sex couples as part of the church? Is that what you're saying? Oh, no. Well, I really didn't think of that. You know, no, I don't want to do that. But they don't. It's really, you know, you would think that you're running for governor, and you would have, I would have thought at least some aide or somebody would have brought up that issue. But no, it was shocking to me how little attention had been given to that. Even, you know, I'd say Rich Whitney is a very bright man. He's an attorney. If you talk to him, I mean, you're going to get an earful on every topic. Mm-hmm. And no, they'll all say, no, well, we don't want to do what happened in Massachusetts with, you know, the church getting out of adoption. We don't do that. But you know, clearly they had thought through this.
Now, where do you think this cluelessness comes from? Certainly, the church is represented in the public sector. I mean, mm-hmm. you're there, mm-hmm. and Cardinal George is certainly mm-hmm. very vocal about a lot of issues. The USCCB, do they just not listen?
Yeah, you know, you'd be surprised, Gratz, that it's not... don't underestimate how little some people know about these issues. They don't really think through these things. This is an issue, I'll say the same-sex marriage civil unions issue is an issue that is underground. It is not in the, it's not above ground. You're not hearing this debate in Springfield. Well, how it's being worked is totally behind the scenes. Mm. You and I are reps, I talk to you, and that's the way it's moving right now. Yeah. Unfortunately, what will happen with this issue is that if it goes, it will be decided before it ever gets into the public realm. The deals will be cut, it will already be done, and then they'll roll it out and do it. That's the problem that we have on this issue. There's really not much of a discourse, if you will, in public policy, I think, on this topic right now.
The incumbent, Pat Quinn, chose not to respond to any of the five parameters and bills that you talked about here, but we can speculate.
Sure.
And so let's speculate. Ultrasound Opportunity Act, where does he on it?
Here's the problem with Governor Quinn right now. He took a substantial amount of money in campaign contributions from a pro-abortion political action committee. Mm. It's the name of it is called Personal PAC, and they endorsed him. So when you receive Personal PAC's endorsement, you buy off on their agenda, or at least a large part of their agenda. So one can only assume that as you're taking those funds to run your campaign, if a piece of legislation like this came up, that he would not support it. Now, I would love for Governor Quinn to call us and say, no, that's not true. We do support that, but you know that didn't happen.
Tuition vouchers.
That's a good question. He has been very vague on that. Now, I am told he's made some statements that he would oppose tuition vouchers, and I have actually heard those statements on a radio station on late night programming that he did before he became governor. You'll see most of his support right now is coming from the public sector unions, AFSCME and the IFT and the IEA. So
now, obviously, you're just speculating, but is your guess that that's a philosophical opposition or politically motivated?
You know, Governor Quinn has been in the public sector, I mean, the public eye for 30 years. And we did a little bit of research on, you know, where he was on that topic. And we could not find anything he said until very recently. There was a meeting with the, I think it was the Illinois Manufacturers Association, where he and Brady were both there. Now, people who were there tell me that he told people that he wouldn't support the Meeks bill. So that's where we're getting that information.
What about the death penalty? Is he in line with his incarcerated predecessor?
Yeah, he. Governor Quinn has stated that he is in full support of the moratorium, as many of them are. If you're a politician, the moratorium is perfectly where you want to be, because you can be for it and you can be against it.
Yeah.
So you got a foot in each camp. I don't. I'm speculating. My gut tells me if the General Assembly got a bill to Governor Quinn on abolishing the death penalty, I'm pretty confident Governor Quinn would sign it.
Civil unions, he'd probably support it?
He probably would support it.
Yeah, okay, yeah. And immigration?
You know, I think Governor Quinn is definitely pro-comprehensive immigration reform. Now, I know the immigration rights people would like to see him come out more that way and say more, but I can tell you, he is generally in the pro-comprehensive immigration reform camp, and that's where we would want.
Well, I got to say, I'm disappointed in Governor Quinn. The purpose of a campaign is to make yourself known to the people so they mm-hmm. know what they're voting for or what they're voting against. And for him to refuse to participate in this kind of a forum and to give these answers, I think is indefensible.
Yeah, you know, like what I just said is it's based on the information that we know from sources. So, you know, if we're wrong, well, tell us we're wrong. I'm not trying to, you know, but you're asking me a question. I'm trying to give you, you know, we're trying to parse together an answer that it might not be true. So if he's wrong, we're wrong, yeah, we'd like to know.
Well, we have one last break coming up, so we're going to continue our conversation. You're getting a lot of good information here, so make sure you stay with us, and we'll be right back after this short break.
Hello, I'm Lisa Pilato, and this is the Junior Board Mission Minute, 60 seconds of the latest and greatest updates on events and opportunities for you to get involved. The 4th Annual Charities Royale Casino Night and Silent Auction will take place on Saturday, November 13th at the beautiful St. Ignatius College Prep. We have an A-list lineup with live music by Underwater People, delicious food by Cafe Bianda, cupcakes by Amy Beck Cake Design, an incredible lineup of silent auction items including a week's stay in the Bahamas, open bar featuring Mad Crack Energy Drink and Svedka Vodka, casino gaming, raffle prizes, and much more. Tickets are only $75 and are on sale now at catholiccharities.net/casino night. This black tie optional event is open to anyone over the age of 21, so grab your friends and game with us for a great cause. Proceeds will benefit the Catholic Charities Emergency Assistance Programs, providing food, clothing, and shelter to the poorest of the poor in Cook and Lake counties. There's always a way to help your neighbor at Catholic Charities. For details, call 312-655-7932 or visit catholiccharities.net. And stay tuned for the next Junior Board Mission Minute.
God bless you, and Christ's peace be with you. This is Mary Norfleet Johnson, Director of the Office for Black Catholics in the Archdiocese of Chicago. The Office for Black Catholics is a vital and integral part of the Catholic worship community here in Chicago. Our agency serves people of color, encompassing African American, Haitian, African, Afro-Latino, and Caribbean natives. Contact us and learn how to enhance your neighborhoods, your families, and your faith through various initiatives and events designed to strengthen your relationship with Jesus Christ. Our office is located in the Cardinal Meyer Center at 35th and Lake Park Avenue. Call us at 312-534-8376 or visit our ever-changing website at www.blackcatholicchicago.org. We look forward to serving you and your community.
Welcome back to Catholic Community of Faith. Bob Gilligan, the Executive Director of the Catholic Conference of Illinois, talking about the Illinois gubernatorial race, which is underway. Five areas that we've talked about that was part of the interview process that you had with the candidates, all but Governor Quinn, who did not respond earlier last month, I presume. The budget. Mm-hmm. We are facing enormous challenges in the state of Illinois as it relates to the budget. And when you sat down with these gentlemen, you had an opportunity to have them just talk about some of the things that were on their agenda. What did they say about that?
Yeah, we let them say anything they wanted at the conclusion of the interviews, anything that you know we thought that they should message they should send the Catholics. And the budget, corruption, taxes were probably the big thing that they all wanted to talk about. They didn't come up with any specifics, obviously, and that's the big knock on Senator Brady right now. He believes in growing the pie. He stressed that he wanted to grow the economy, and that was the way to do it. He expressed that, you know, he looks at the state of Illinois saying the glass is half full and not half empty. He stressed the agricultural importance of the state of Illinois. Scott Lee Cohen says that, you know, he's the independent guy. He can bring people together because he has no vested interest in the Democrats or the Republicans. So he thinks he brings the businessman's expertise. And obviously, he made a lot of money. He's self-funding his campaign here as a pawnbroker. I believe he made his money in. But so he stressed that. That was his kind of, you know, niche into the whole thing. Lex Green, in terms of you know the economy and growing jobs, I think he looked at cuts more than anything, is my recollection, and things government should be getting out of. As I should say, Senator Brady did as well. Rich Whitney had some real, I would say, extraordinarily creative ideas for solving the budget. I mean, taxing things that we don't tax now. He was generally in the we need more revenue and we're going to increase fees and taxes on areas that we are currently not taxing. Mm. One thing I can recall him saying was something about, you know, trades on the futures market or something like that would bring in billions and billions of dollars that I'm sure would never see the light of day. But anyway, it was creative, I could say that. So, you know, they wanted to really make sure that everybody knew they were going to, you know, ferret out corruption. That was big standard. And they all went into those sort of speeches.
So you know a lot more about this stuff than we do. You spend time in Springfield. How the heck did we get in this $17, $18 billion hole?
It's really complex and it's really simple. It's like your own budget. We were buying things, I would say, from George Ryan on. We were adding to the state's expenditures every year in thinking that the revenues would keep up with what we were adding on to. And we did some things that are, you know, I would argue were nice things to do. Increased coverages under Medicaid, and we did a whole bunch of things like that. Increased services to seniors and things like that. That cost money. Blagojevich came in and did the same thing, added more and more coverages and things like that. So every year, those costs are annualized, then they increase, and you keep adding and adding. And at the same time, our economy was not growing, and now it's gone way down. So, you know, it's really not that complicated.
Yeah, we're running a little on time. How should a responsible Catholic voter use what you have done here in your analysis of the candidates for governor?
I'd say two things. Take a look at faithful citizenship. What are the themes trying to be conveyed there? You know, what are the moral teachings of the church, and what do we say about engagement in the public sphere? Take a look at that. Reflect on that if you can. Then look at these issues and say, you know, who, you know, where, how does that match up for you? You know, with the responses here, and then make your own determination as who do you think would be the best person to lead the state for the next 4 years.
You mentioned you have verbatim transcripts of the interviews.
We do.
Where could people see those?
They're going to be online on our website at www.catholicconferenceofillinois.org.
One more time.
They are going to be coming up. They will be posted at the end of this week, and they'll be up there through the end of through Election Day.
www.catholicconferenceofillinois.org.
Okay. And this little one-page spreadsheet that we're being referring to is going to be sent out to the parishes next week. So we're asking pastors to put it in bulletins and get it out however way they want to during the weeks of October 17th, 24th, and 30th. So the 3 weeks prior to Election Day.
You think
Day.
The publication of this is going to drag Governor Quinn out of the weeds and maybe have his people respond to some of these things?
I doubt it. No. I think that these issues will come up tangentially during some of the debates, but most of the focus is going to be on the jobs, corruption, and growing the economy.
You know, corruption, culture of corruption, two governors in a row, one Republican, one Democrat. Obviously, these guys can't do this stuff all on their own. What the heck's going on down there?
You know,
got 1 minute.
Yeah, I've got an hour to go on there. What's going on down there? You know, here's my personal opinion. Values mean so much in life. if you're not a person who has some moral substance to you in terms of values and you know where you're going in life, you can be easily misled and distracted by temptation. That's what's happened over the last two governors. To the degree that we choose the next person who's going to stick to their principles and their values and not wane from them and not waver from them, we'll be okay.
Well, we want to thank our guest for this half hour, the director of the Catholic Conference of Illinois, Bob Gilligan, for giving us these insights. Very useful resource. Check it out on their website, www.catholicconferenceofillinois.org. I want to thank the co-host today, Wayne Majars. We wish Father Wayne all the best in his recovery from his celebration.
Father Greg.
I was going to say, did you just get ordained?
And if he were here, I'm sure he would make a prediction about tonight's game, but we all know it's going to be the Bears. So we also thank our engineer, Mr. Michael May, our producer, Mr. Jim Dish, and we thank all of you for spending your time with us. We ask you to pray for the good work of the Catholic Archdiocese, especially to keep our Cardinal, Cardinal Francis George, in your prayers. Have a wonderful day. Keep warm, and we'll see you on the radio.
This is Cardinal Francis George. Thank you for being with us this past hour on Relevant Radio 950 AM. Join us every day, Monday through Friday, as the Archdiocese of Chicago presents the Catholic Community of Faith. Have a wonderful day and God bless you.